Now, as we look at the life of Job, up to this point in Job's life, he has lost everything that he's ever had. Everything is gone. We're in Job chapter 19. We're in the middle of the book. He's lost everything. He's been reduced to sitting in ashes. Look at chapter 2. Job chapter 2, verse number 7. Here's where he is when chapter 19 is written. Job chapter 2, verse number 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Can you see Job? He's in such pain, physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, spiritual pain, every kind of pain you can think of. And the only relief he can get is he goes outside the town where there was probably the city dump where they burned things and the smoldering smoke rose up constantly. And he's sitting out there in the ashes and the embers of the dump, and he's scraping himself. He's got boils, he's got pus, he's got, I know it's before lunch, so we'll be careful, right? But he's got these oozing sores, and he's scraping them to relieve the pain that's coming from every part of his body, from the foot to the crown of his head. Job had a sterling testimony. Look at chapter 1. If you're in chapter 2, look at chapter 1. Job had a sterling testimony. There was a man in the land of Uz, verse 1, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. To eschew doesn't mean to just mildly, I really don't care about evil, but, you know, whatever. It's to run away from evil. It's to have a repulsion. Evil is just the worst thing. And so he would just stay as far away from evil as he could. So he had a sterling testimony outwardly to everyone around him. Inwardly, he was not a hypocrite. The word hypocrite is the word that they would use for an actor, someone who puts on a costume and pretends to be somebody they're not, or plays a part in a play or something, that somebody that they're not. They pretend, they go by a different name. So he was not a hypocrite, he was not a fake. And Godward, the Lord knew that he was genuine. So the Bible says that Satan came into the presence of God. You know the story, look at chapter 1. And the Lord was proud of Job. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord could be proud of each one of us? If the Lord could look down from heaven and say this in verse number 8 of chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Can you imagine? Put your name in there. Hast thou considered my servant so-and-so? But there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Wouldn't it be great if God was proud of us? Wouldn't it be great if God knew our character? Wouldn't it be great if God knew our outward testimony and our inward consistency, just like Job had? And so Satan said, well, it's no wonder Job loves you. It's no wonder Job serves you. You've put a hedge about him. Look at verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught, for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So permission was given by the Lord, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Permission was given by the Lord to Satan to remove the hedge that was around Job, and around Job's family, and around everything that Job had. Now, God knows what's going on in your life, and God knows what's going on in my life. If something comes into our life, God must have allowed it to come. God must have purposed it to come. But I want you to think about this. His permission was given to remove his hedge. He went from the hedge to the edge. He had all of his possessions taken from him. He went from the greatest man to the poorest man. His oxen and his donkeys, 1,000 oxen, 500 donkeys stolen by the Sabaeans, 7,000 sheep burned up, the Chaldeans steal 3,000 camels, most all of his servants except for a handful are slain and they're gone. A great wind destroys the house where his sons and daughters are gathered. Can you imagine that? All of the things are just compounding on Job, and then finally his servant comes and he says, I have really bad news. This is the worst news of all. Your children were all gathered in the eldest son's house, and a wind came, and the house got torn down, and they all died, all 10 of his children. Imagine the grief. Yet in his grief, he did not lose his testimony. In his grief, he remained steadfast and faithful to God. Job had a sterling testimony. So Satan comes into the presence of the Lord again. Look at chapter 2. And again, the Lord commends Job. Again, the Lord brags on Job. Chapter 2, verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan, you've taken everything from him. You've taken his camels, you've taken his donkeys, you've taken his oxen, you've taken his servants, you've taken his 10 children, and yet there he stands, charactered. There he stands, standing for God. There he stands, integrity in his heart. Testimony on the outside, an incredible example of what a godly person should be. God commends Job before Satan. And Satan is allowed then to touch him within an inch of his life. Verse 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. And that's where we read, he was smitten with boils, a huge sore, an infected sore from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Listen, I get a pimple and I think it's the end of the world, right? It's like, oh no, I'm going to die, right? Can you imagine having boils from head to toe? Can you imagine having these painful, no matter which way you turn? No matter, you can't sit down, you can't stand up, you can't roll over, everywhere you go. And he's just got this, it probably drive you crazy after a while. How do you sleep, right? And he's got this pain from head to toe. And here he is in the embers and the ashes of the dump. His wife comes. You think, boy, she's going to give me some words of encouragement. Job, this too shall pass, right? Job, this can't last forever. Job, you know, it's going to be okay. What does she say? Verse 9 of chapter 2. Then his wife said unto him, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Wow. That's the worst thing you could hear from the helpmeet, from the one that, you know, you've had 10 children together. You've raised these children together. You've had this wonderful life. You've had a great opportunity. And now your wife comes as you're sitting in your time of need, in your time of pain, in your time of suffering. And she says, you know what? Why do you retain your integrity? You're a fool. Curse God and die. I wish you were dead. You should just take your life. What a horrible thing to say. His three friends come and they mourn with him. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. And they come from far away and they hear of Job's pain and they hear of his suffering. And they come and they sit with him and his grief is so real and his pain is so raw that they don't say anything for a whole week. They just sit there on the ground for 7 days. They're just absorbing his pain. They're just trying to relate to him. They're just trying to suffer with him. Can you imagine that scene? Quiet, yet pain. Only pain is, the only noise is probably Job moaning in pain, suffering. As Job's friends begin to speak, it's been a whole week now. You know, they're probably going to say, you know what, Job? I don't know why this happened to you, but we're gonna be here with you, and we're going to get through this together, and this is awful. I can't imagine what you're going through, but we're here to be your friends. We're here to strengthen you. No, as soon as they open their mouth, they're filled with criticism. As soon as they open their mouth, you read from chapter 2 all the way to almost the end of the book until where God and Job start speaking, and they're just criticizing Job. Job, you know what? You must have some secret sin. There must be some things that we don't know about. We thought we knew you pretty good, but obviously God is judging you, and you're being chastened by the Lord, and God's hand is heavy upon you because you're a sinner, and we just didn't know it. You had it hidden. That wasn't the case at all. Be careful about what you say about people or think about people. So here's Job and his three friends. Accusations are being hurled left and right, wave after wave of criticism. But as we look at our chapter, our text in chapter 19, Job is speaking now. He's in the presence of his friends. And he's talking about his negative maladies in his life. Look at verse number 1, chapter 19. Then Job answered and said, he's talking to his friends, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? You know, the words really hurt. We used to say, right, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But they do hurt. And so here these horrible words are being spoken by Job's friends. And he says, you're hurting me with your words. You're breaking me in pieces with your words. You know, words can tear down or words can build up. These 10 times have you reproached me. Again and again and again they've come and they've criticized and they brought attacks upon him. 10 times. You're not ashamed that you make yourselves strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me in my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. He says, you know, I feel like God has just taken my life and turned it upside down. Everything that I had has been shaken from me. My family is gone. My children are in the graveyard. My wife told me, curse God and die. All of my wealth is gone. I don't have lint in my pockets. I have boils. My health is broken. Now my friends are turning on me. I feel like God is trying to destroy me. And I feel like I'm being taken in a net, like a fish. You know, can you imagine being a fish and all of a sudden a big net drops around you and you get scooped up in this net? Where am I going now? You're going to be eaten. And so here's Job. He's feeling like a trapped. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. God is not hearing my prayers. God, I haven't done anything to deserve this. Can you help me? God, I don't know what you're doing, but please, please show me. No answer. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, for he hath set darkness in my paths. What happens when you walk in the darkness? You stumble. When you walk in the darkness, it's very unsettling, isn't it? Hey, the electricity went out the other week. I had to go find my flashlights, right? Where are those flashlights, right? Candle, burn the house down. And you find the candle, you feel like walking around like that that guy from Sleepy Hollow, right? Got a candle, walking around, like going around the house, like, okay. And then I still turn on light switches, don't you? I walk around the house, like, oh yeah, that doesn't work. That's why I have the candle, right? And just turn on the light switch. And so he says, I'm in the darkness. I don't know where the next step is. I don't know where the bottom is. What's going to happen to me? I could fall down these stairs, right? He has stripped me of my glory, verse 9, and taken the crown from my head. Everything that I valued is gone. Everything that was precious is gone. My status is gone. My position is gone. My wealth is gone. My influence is gone. Everything. He hath destroyed me. He's talking about God now. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. You know, you can have a lot of things going for you, but when you lose hope, that's really bad. Hope is something we've all got to hang on to. Hope is an anchor of the soul, the Bible says. We sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Our hope is in God. And Job said here, it feels like my hope has been removed like a tree, like God reached down and just pulled the hope right out of my heart. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counted me unto him as one of his enemies. He's talking about God. He said, I feel like I'm being smitten like an enemy of God, like God is angry at me. His troops come together, whole army, and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. I'm surrounded. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintances are very strange from me. He's talking about his friends. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forsaken me, forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. He said, the people that are on the payroll, they don't even talk to me. They don't even come anymore, for I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for my children's sake, for mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. And this was unusual in an Eastern culture. The young children would respect the older children. They have respect for their elders. He said, now they used to revere me. Now the children are ridiculing me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. He said, this is unusual. As Satan was allowed to touch Job, and all of these things have turned against him, and all of his friends are criticizing him. And now he says, I've got, everybody's turned against me. And my bone, verse 20, cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. We use that little phrase. That's where it comes from. Just the smallest amount, the plaque on your teeth. He said, that's how much I'm just hanging on to life. I'm barely living. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Now, we get to this point. Job turns and he makes a profound statement. Where we started this morning, we read verse 23. And he says, I'd like to go on record about something. All of these negative things in the last 22 verses, 23 verses. He said, I want to go on record and I want you to record this. And God put it in his word. He said, if I could write this down in the stone, I would have it written there forever. I'd have it for everybody to read. All the things that he just went through. And he says, verse 23, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, not the previous words, the next words. Look at the exclamation mark. You don't see those too many times in the Bible. There's one at the end of the next sentence. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yea, in my flesh shall I see God. Job said, there's a lot of things that I don't know. I don't know why all these things have happened to me. But can I tell you this? There is one thing that I do know, Job said in verse 25, God is alive and well. God is alive and well. Listen, it's been a pretty crazy week, admittedly, right? The Chinese are spying on us. They send a balloon over. Do you think if they're doing that, don't you think they're already here? Don't you think they've been teaching the kids in the school for generations already by sending these kids to the liberal indoctrination institutions called our universities and our high schools? And they've been teaching them all this anti-God, anti-capitalism, anti-America stuff? Absolutely. It's been going on since as long as I can remember. I mean, you had people looking in the 50s and the 60s, right? I mean, we need to learn from history. That's just an outward picture of what's been going on for a long time. And you can look at it and go, wow, what's going to happen? An admiral comes out and he says, we'll be at war with China within 2 years. Did you hear that this week? Anybody else hear that? Am I the only one? Okay. You heard that too, right? I mean, you look at that and you go, okay. I mean, that's pretty like end of the world kind of stuff, isn't it? Really? What are you going to do? Well, you know what? I can't do anything about the beginning of the chapter, but I can say there's one thing I do know. God is alive and well. Hey, none of this has taken God by surprise, right? None of this is God didn't wake up and go, oh, wow, what happened? Where did that country go? What happened to those people down there? Why are they all turning against me? What's going on? I better do something about that. Hey, God is alive and well. So look, and you can despair. You can get worried about it. You can do, look, God is alive and well. One thing I do know, God is alive and well. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I don't know why Job had all those bad things happen to him, but I do know that God was in charge of it, and God allowed it. Job said, I don't know why my children died, but I know that God is alive and well. Boy, that's a tough thing to say. He said, hey, if I could write something down, and he was already going through the grief of losing his children. He's already going through the grief of his wife saying, curse God and die, and all of his body being broken down with all these boils. And he said, hey, if I could write something down. He didn't say, God is not fair. He could have said that. But he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I don't know why my children died. Imagine the memories. Can you imagine Job going to the scene where the house got knocked down and going through and finding the bodies of his 10 children and having to identify them? Yeah, that's my son. And that's my other son, and that's my oldest daughter there. That one there's my other daughter, and that's my youngest daughter. And boy, I sure do love her. I'm going to miss her. Can you imagine Job going wherever he went at home and going through the scrapbooks of all the pictures? Remembering, hey, I remember when they made that little happy birthday card. We used to have that on the refrigerator. And I remember those little stick figures, and I remember the first words that they ever said, and that was Daddy. Because that's the first word every good kid says, right? I remember the first words they said, and it was Daddy. And now he's probably just broken up like you can't even imagine. And he's going through the toys in their room that maybe he put out in the garage. And he's thinking, you know, the kids are grown up, but I did still save that Tonka truck. And that was their first one. And these Hot Wheels, I remember I used to leave my Hot Wheels out. I'm going to confess something. The statute of limitations has run out. When I was a kid, my dad, he's sitting right here, and he had a tow truck, and 24-hour towing, right? We lived on the Michigan-Wisconsin border, and the legal age for drinking alcohol in Michigan was 21, and the legal age in Wisconsin was 18. Well, of course, you know what everybody did, right? They went to Wisconsin, and they got drunk, and they bought all their beer, and then at 2 o'clock in the morning, the bars closed, and they'd go crash their car, and then our phone would ring, and it was the sheriff's department. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, every week, the phone would ring, and I remember leaving my Hot Wheels out on the kitchen. We didn't have cell phones, right? We had one phone, and it was in the kitchen, and it had a 25-foot-long cord on it. Remember that? My mom used to be able to wash dishes, cook dinner, mop the floor, and take care of me all on that phone like that, right? And so I left all my Hot Wheels, and I can remember the phone rang, and my dad would wake up, and it only rang like 4 times, and he had to answer it, right? And he'd wake up, and he'd go running from his bedroom on the one end of the house to the kitchen on the other end of the house, and my room was always in the middle. And I always thought, I wonder if I left any roller skates on the floor for him. And I can remember many times, ouch, 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 ouch. David, right? Sorry, I'm too big to spank now, all right? My sister did it, but I was the only child, so I couldn't get away with lying, even if I wanted to. But, you know, can you imagine Job, as Job is going through the toys maybe that they had, or maybe the diplomas on the wall and the pictures, and he's thinking, what's happened? All my children have died, and they're not coming back. I don't know what's going to happen. My children died, but I know God is alive, and God is well. Oh, if I could just record this on stone, if I could write it with a pen, if I could put it in lead on the stone, I would say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know God is alive. The emptiness and the pain. Job said, I don't know why my wife said what she did, but I know God is alive and God is well. I don't know where my wife is. She just left me here. In the embers, in the ashes of the city dump, but God has never left me. I feel like he's left me, but I know God is alive and well. Why have I gone from the greatest man in the east to the poorest man? Why have I gone from riches to ashes? But I will tell you this, I do know God is alive and well. I don't know why my friends seek to break me in pieces with their words, but I do know God is alive and well. I don't know why 10 times they reproach me as judge, as jury, and as executioner, and I haven't done anything wrong, but I do know God is alive and well. I don't know why God has overthrown me and compassed me about with his net, but I do know that God is alive and well. I don't know why I'm praying in verse number 7, but there's no answer, but I do know God is alive and well. I don't know why my way is fenced up, but I know God is alive and well. I don't know why I'm in the darkness and I'm groping and I can't find what I'm looking for and I can't find an answer, but I do know God is alive and well. I don't know why God has stripped me of his glory and why he has taken the crown from my head and why he's destroyed me on every side and I am gone, but I do know God is alive and well. Job did not lose his faith in God. Job said, why has my hope been ripped out like a tree? I don't know, but I do know God is alive and well. Job said, why is God angry with me and treat me as an enemy? I don't know, but I know God is alive and well. I don't know why his troops surround me and are against me. I don't know why my brethren and my acquaintances and my friends and my kinfolk have forgotten me, but I do know God is alive and well. I don't know why my servants and maids don't answer me, and why young children despise me and speak against me, but I know God is alive and well. I don't know why my once strong body is broken in verse 20, but I do know God is alive and well. You know, something's going to happen to you somewhere along the line of life. something's going to happen to me along the line of life, it's going to be real easy to look around and say, you know, I don't know why God did this. If that's the kind of God you are, then I'm all done with you. But Job didn't do that. An extreme case. Job said, I don't know everything, but I do know one thing. God is alive and well. When all the dust is settled, he gets to verse 26. He says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hey, after this life is over and after they put me in the ground and after my body has decomposed and after the last battle has been fought, after Satan has been defeated and cast into the lake of fire, after every sinner receives their just sentence from a holy God, after every wrong has finally been made right, after time is no more and eternity has begun, that my Redeemer shall stand upon the earth and that he shall be the ruler, a victor. Verse 25. My Redeemer shall stand to the latter day upon the earth. You know, the word Redeemer means to buy something back. Interesting. It's only used in the Old Testament. It's used, I don't know how many times, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, Isaiah 49:7. Isaiah 49:26. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One. Isaiah 54:5, for thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Isaiah 54:8, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Isaiah 59:20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. It's in Isaiah 60:16, Isaiah 63:16, Jeremiah 50:34. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Psalm 78:35, they remembered the Lord that was their rock and the high God, their Redeemer. Proverbs 23:11, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Isaiah 41:14, Isaiah 43:14, Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Isaiah 44:24. Isaiah 47:7 and Isaiah 48:17. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. The latter day he's going to stand upon the earth. Oh, this life is just a vapor. This life is just here for a while. My problems are great. They're many. They're compounded. They're painful. But I do know that God is alive and well. I hope that you have that confidence today. It doesn't matter what happens. God's alive and well. Hey, what's going to happen? Well, you know, some of us are looking at, I'm getting old, right? You put your money in the retirement lottery machine, and you look at it and go, whoa, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to work till I'm 100. And, you know, what are you going to do? I don't know. My Redeemer liveth. God's going to take care of it. I don't know. What do I know? Well, what did Job know? Look at Job chapter 5. Job said, I don't know a lot of things, but one thing I do know is God is alive and well. God is neither slumbered. God is neither slept. God is not weak. Job chapter 5, verse number 7. Yea, man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. That's natural, isn't it? You start a fire, campfire maybe, and the sparks are going, and they fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Job said this, we live in a sinful world. Trouble is normal. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because there's sin in this world. There's sin in this world. People say, well, if God is in control of everything, then why isn't everything perfect? Because there's sin in this world. People don't use God. People don't have God. People don't want God. Look, we live in a world full of soap, but are there still people who are dirty? Yes. Why? Because they don't use soap. All right? Use soap. All right? They don't use soap. They don't wash. They don't wash things. There's still things that are dirty. But it's not the problem with the soap. It's that they're not using it. God is not the problem. It's the problem with sin. We live in a sinful world. What must we do? As trouble is normal, verse 8, I must commit my cause unto God. Job 5, verse number 8, I must commit my cause unto God. Look at chapter 1. Job chapter 1. As Job has just suffered the loss of his children, as Job has been stripped of everything in this life, his response is verse 21. And said, Well, look at verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, you know what I know? I had nothing when I arrived, and I will have nothing when I leave. I'll take nothing with me. My only concern when people look through the prism of my life is, does the Lord get blessed? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, when people look through the prism of your life, does the Lord get blessed? Does the Lord get magnified through your life, through your trials, through your troubles? Job said, I don't know a lot of things, but I know we live in a sinful world. Trouble is normal, and I will commit my cause unto God no matter what happens. Job said, I had nothing when I got here, and I'll take nothing with me when I leave. But I want God to get glorified through everything in between. Look at Job chapter 16. Job said this in chapter 16, my biography is being written in heaven. Job chapter 16 and verse number 19. Oh, now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. He said, my record and my witness is in heaven on high. He said, people can say a lot of things about Job. People can write a lot of things about Job. People can scandalize Job. People can, you know, put things about Job that maybe aren't true, but my record's written in heaven. Can I ask you this question? Friend, is your name written in heaven? The Bible says in the last page of the Bible that there is a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in heaven? Job said, my record's in heaven. I got it there when I put my faith and trust in God to be my Savior. And so Job said, I know all this stuff going on in the world. It's bad. It's going to get worse. He said, but you know what? My name is written in heaven. How did he get there? He put his faith in God. How's your name get there? This is the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you're going to get to heaven, your name has to be written in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life, because the Bible says you're not getting there unless your name's in that book. Then the invitation is given, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The invitation stands today. Anyone can go to heaven. Anyone can have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whosoever will, we just have to want to. We have to ask for it. Is your name written there? Then he said this, God is keeping my soul. His name is written in heaven. It's not going to be unwritten in heaven. The Bible says when we suffer, when we go through trials and tribulations, that we should commit our soul unto God because he's the one who keeps it. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. That's 1 Peter 4, verse 19. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy, in chapter number 1 and verse number 12. As Paul is in prison, as he is going to die, as his life is coming to an end, and he knows that he's going to be executed. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, that's past tense, and am persuaded, that's present tense, that he is able, that's the future tense, to keep that which I have committed in the past unto him against that day. What's he talking about? His soul, his salvation. He said, my soul is eternally secure. My body, lots of things can happen to it. Paul ended up having his head cut off. He says, you know what? I know whom I have believed, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I am persuaded today that he is able to keep that which I have committed in the past, my soul, my salvation, unto him against that day. I know where I'm going when I die. God is keeping my soul. Look at the last thought, Job chapter 23. Job said, I don't know a lot of things. I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know who ordered these trials. I don't know why this affliction is coming. I don't know why I've suffered the loss of everything, but I do know God is alive and well. I don't know why these things have happened to me, but I do know that we live in a sinful world and trouble is normal, and I'm going to commit my cause unto God. I don't know why these things have happened to me, but I came into this world with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. And when people look at me in between, I want God to be magnified. I don't know why these things have happened to me, but God knows my testimony is in heaven. My biography is written in heaven. My record is there, and we'll read it when we get there. He said, I don't know why these things have happened, but God is keeping my soul. Look at chapter 23, verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. God is with me in my trials, and I will esteem his words more than my necessary food. You know what we need today? We need to get into this book right here every day. I have a pastor that I met one time. He says, here's a good little saying. No Bible, no breakfast. Hey, after a couple of weeks, we could come up with our own weight loss program. Hey, how'd you lose 40 pounds? Well, no Bible, no breakfast. I haven't been reading the Bible. And he could write a bestseller, right? No, don't do that. Instead, read the Bible, okay? I have esteemed his words more than my necessary food. There's something more important than eating, Job said. It's getting into this book right here. And finding out that it strengthens my faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. What do we need today? We need faith. Hey, when the Lord comes, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's in people's hearts. It's in your heart. It's in my heart. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I don't know why bad things happen in this world, but I do know God's alive and well. God's alive and well, and you know what? He's going to take care of everything. So I'm just going to trust in him and say, you know what? I can't get any more gray hair by worrying about it. I'm just going to trust God and say, I just need to get into this book, find out what I'm supposed to be doing, and get busy doing it. I'm going to maintain my integrity because God's writing my record in heaven.